Ketchikan's city council set aside $350,000 for child care assistance earlier this year. It's a portion of the more than $12 million that the city got in federal CARES Act money. But those grants are targeted at state-licensed child care providers, think daycare centers. But the borough's top finance official, Sina Gubitayo, says that leaves a gap.
There's a serious shortage of licensed daycare facilities, so that if you target only the licensed daycares, you're missing a lot of children because there simply aren't enough spaces for them.
The solution, she says, is to make direct payments to families. That would allow them to pay for child care in their own way by providing one-time payments of $500 per child age 12 or younger. The child care could come from friends, babysitters, church parishioners, or, of course, licensed daycares. To satisfy federal requirements, the child care payment program is only open to people who have taken a financial hit from the pandemic. But the borough's interpretation of that is pretty expansive. Quote, any financial inconvenience, in the borough's parlance, that could mean lower wages, higher bills, or other unforeseen costs. Residential Youth Care, a Ketchikan-based nonprofit, will administer the program. Dustin Larna is heading up the group's efforts, and he says there really aren't any strings attached to that $500 check.
So it doesn't have to be that you're directly using the fund to pay somebody else to provide child care.
He says that $500 could go towards reimbursing past child care, or really anything else.
It could be to offset increased expenses from, let's say, somebody due to school being closed this spring or starting late this fall, somebody's not able to work as much as they normally would because they need to be home.
Larna emphasizes that the application for child care assistance is simple. It doesn't require pay stubs or tax returns. It's available online, even on smartphones.
Err on the side of filling out the application. The goal is to provide assistance to as many eligible people as we can.
The Borough Assembly unanimously voted to set aside $1 million for the child care program. The Assembly also unanimously approved another round of funding for two existing programs, roughly $1.5 million for small business grants and another $350,000 for local nonprofits. And another $25,000 is earmarked for the Alaska Municipal League. That leaves about $1.2 million, or about 12% of the borough's CARES Act money, unallocated. Some could go towards reimbursing pandemic-related borough expenses or fund a grant program for artists who usually rely on business income from visitors. Here's Assemblymember Sven Westergaard musing about what he'd like to see in the next round of funding.
There's a lot of arts in this town. Arts is kind of our fire that breathes, especially in the dark of winter. Maybe ask the question with the Arts Council and see what kind of numbers they're looking at.
In other business, Ketchikan's Borough Assembly won't join the local city council in asking the state to beef up its travel restrictions. That's after the Assembly voted 6-1 to reject a resolution that would have asked the state to require a 14-day quarantine for both in-state and out-of-state travelers. Assistant Borough Manager Deanna Thomas told the Assembly that Ketchikan's top pandemic responders, the Emergency Operations Center, or EOC, don't currently think clamping down on travel is necessary. Thomas pointed out that a risk analysis tool used by local officials currently says Ketchikan is at low risk of a widespread outbreak.
The Ketchikan EOC recommends continued tracking of active COVID-19 cases in Ketchikan. If the rate of infection begins to escalate beyond the low risk category, then additional measures might be supported.
That's Thomas reading recommendations from the EOC's policy group. That's mayors, managers, and other top local officials. Assembly members considered several tweaks to the resolution, like asking for a voluntary rather than mandatory quarantine, and a proposal that would have simply required testing for in-state travelers with no quarantine, but in the end rejected them all. Felix Wong, one of the resolution's original co-sponsors, explains.
Perhaps it is better for us at the borough level to seek to postpone this agenda indefinitely, given that the city of Ketchikan is going to send what would essentially be a different message from us.
Austin Otis, the other co-sponsor, was the only vote in favor as a request for stiffer travel mandates failed 6-1. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.